online on YouTube and Facebook are very encouraged. Probably three times the size of the people in the church here today are watching online, so we're grateful. Spread that around to people in the privacy of their home. Many feel more safe, and that's okay. However they connect with us, we're very grateful. They also can listen on graceradio.fm. That's 100.3 FM in Greensburg. And we're getting a lot of encouraging responses from people, letting us know they're listening and they're praying for us as we're praying for them. Spread the word around how people can get connected to these different media. You can subscribe on YouTube channel. And if you have friends or neighbors or relatives that don't know the Lord who aren't attending church anywhere, this is a great time to just send a link out and say, hey, check this out. Let me know what you think. And you never know, the Lord might bring them into the kingdom as they hear the word of the Lord on Sunday mornings here. And also Wednesday night, we're streaming the adult Wednesday night Bible studies. So we're trying to do everything we can right now to provide a safe worship experience. So thank you for you, those of you who are helping us by wearing the mask and social distancing. I know it's no fun. I don't like it either, but I do it, and I'm just trying to do the best I can. Praying that I don't get it. I'm sure you're praying you don't get it either. Today we have a special setup for families with the young children. And I know this is discouraging too. Usually we have a whole wall here of kids and adult leaders, and right now this is what we need to do. I'm going to read the letter that went out, so those of you who are watching online that maybe normally come are up to date. Dear Calvary family, I don't think anyone is surprised by the increase of COVID-19, being that it is cold and flu season. However, due to this, we need to make some adjustments to our children's ministry temporarily. Several of the volunteers of our children's ministry right now have to quarantine due to possible exposure to someone who has tested positive. We want to ensure that everyone is safe and healthy while at Calvary, so we've decided to cancel the kids' ministry for the month of December. This includes Wednesday nights as well as Sunday mornings. We have tables set up in the fellowship hall that families with children can sit at together. We will provide new crayons and coloring pages for the children, and we will have worship and sermons streaming on the projectors, so you won't miss a thing. So that's available. Encourage you to use that. The nursery will not be staffed, but will be open for women with nursing babies who may need more privacy, or if your little one just needs to get some energy out. We know that this is not the ideal situation for our children, but we pray that we will get the kids' ministry going again the first thing in January. We ask for grace during this time as the leadership is charged to, through much prayer, make the best decisions possible to keep those in our church body healthy and safe. Please pray for the men in leadership. Please pray for our pastors. Please pray for our church body that we would remain strong and united during this time that has brought so much chaos and division in our country. Let's be the hand and feet of Jesus to one another, and that's sent out with blessings. And we also could use some new volunteers to help, because when some folks have to go out because they get sick, in order to get that thing going again in January, we need some other folks to maybe step up and help. So if you're interested in that, please let us know. We could sure use more help. Also, there's a new ministry that Pastor Lewis and I have decided to start, and I wanted to read this for those who didn't get the Constant Contact. If you're not getting Constant Contact, just go to JES at Calvary Chapel online and tell her that you want to be included on the updates of what's happening in the church. That way you can stay tuned in. But this is from us as pastors. It says, Dear Calvary family, blessed Christmas season to the family of God at Calvary. During this time, in-person encouragement, ministry to be there in any way we can for those who need spiritual in-person encouragement. Like the old days, doctor made house calls, Pastor Lewis and myself are available to stop in your homes for prayers and Bible study or meet privately with you at the church with any safety precautions that you would request. We know there are families that are not wanting to be in crowds, and also there are those who are not comfortable wearing masks. It can get lonely, so we're available to you. We also thank you for your prayers and support in temporarily wearing masks in the building at this time. We are truly thankful for all those who faithfully watch the Sunday sermons on YouTube and Facebook and listen live on Grace Radio FM 100.3. Also spreading the word to others and inviting them to watch or listen. Your faithful weekly financial offering support has also been a great encouragement at this time. If you want a pastor to stop by, please email me at Clark, C-L-A-R-K-E, at calvarychapelonline.com, and I will get back to you. We will all get through this and become stronger and closer to Jesus. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God. So please, 1 Thessalonians 1, 2, and 3, in Christ's love, Pastor Clark and Pastor Lewis. So please take us up on that. Already three families did. Cindy and I met with a family here this week to pray about some things with another couple. Had wonderful mutual encouragement. Another fella came and asked for prayer regarding a Bible study, a prayer he has to do later today. Another couple new believers recently in the last 6 months. We're taking them through a new believers study in the book of John, Cindy and I. So this is an opportunity to really still be together, right? And so we were like plenty far apart, you know, in the church the other day. And so I encourage you to do that. And some folks really are at the end of themselves. Perhaps some people, I hate to say this, are maybe thinking of taking their lives. Please call. We're here for you. To be there for you. And I think the Lord is doing a wonderful thing in His church, in the lives of pastors, to help us understand that the role of the pastor is just not to be at the church on Sunday and preach a sermon, but it's to be in the trenches of life wherever you need us, and that's what we're compelled to do. That's what we're called to do. So don't feel that you're disturbing us or 24/7. You have a need, call me, email me, text Lewis and I, and we're there. This week at Calvary Chapel, Tuesday, the Joshua study, right, John? And we'll have plenty of room for social distancing with the folks that come at 10 o'clock. We're in the book of Joshua, a wonderful study. Wednesday night, adult Bible study in 2 Kings. No kids ministry right now, but it doesn't mean you can't bring your kids to color or whatever. That's a wonderful study that's also online on the YouTube station. Thursday, we have the Zoom prayer meeting from 7 to 8, and maybe you're not one that likes to pray outwardly, but you can just get on there and listen, or maybe say, can you please pray for this for me? If you want to get connected with that, Jess, J-E-S, at calvarychapelonline.com. She'll send you the link out. It's only an hour, but it's very, very encouraging to pray with each other. Saturday, we're having our men's breakfast renewed, and we're going to be meeting in the fellowship hall at 8, social distancing. We're going to have food, and Brother John's going to share with us in the Word, also do a little bit of music. And so come out to that, guys. It'll be safe, and it'll be the first time we've been together in a long time as brothers. We're having two Christmas Eve services this year. They're both on December 24th. One's at 12 noon. And me and I are 12 things they got to do later in the day at night. And so we wanted to accommodate folks at Sony and I are 12 noon and one at 6 o'clock p.m. 1 hour. So pick the one you like. We started something last week, prayer and fasting, based upon Matthew chapter 4. We're studying about Jesus in the wilderness and how he taught us the importance of praying and fasting, something maybe we've never perhaps done that much in regard to fasting. So we decided to do this on Mondays up till the end of the year. So you can take part of the day or just one meal or the whole meal all day long, whatever you're inclined to do. And ask the Lord as you're praying and fasting to give you the love of Jesus Christ for others that you meet in everyday life. People need to be loved on more than ever in these days. Pray for personal growth in your own life in the Lord. Listen. So that you can hear from him. Pray for unity of believers around the country. Pray for your family, your neighborhood, your co-workers. Pray for the gospel to go out into the nations. Pray for the world. Pray for COVID to end, employment issues, and also for those who are currently sick. Right now, Pastor Lewis is sick, and one of our elders, George, and the whole family is sick. So these are difficult times. In January, we're going to gather the updates on what happened as a result of you guys praying and fasting. We might have some wonderful answers to what God has given us to pray for. So I want to pray now to open the service and then pass it over to Steve Jackson. Let's pray. Lord, today we are here in your midst, and we're thankful, Lord, that whether we're watching online or we're here in person together, we sense your presence, Holy Spirit. We know, Lord, you're teaching us many things in this time about ourselves and about one another. And Lord, one thing you're impressing upon our hearts is how much you love us and how much you're with us in this time. And Lord, as you pour your love into us, then you desire that same love to be poured out to others, Lord. There's many that are hurting, suffering, people who are uptight, people who are angry, people who are discouraged and depressed. Lord, we want to be vessels that you can pour your love through, and we pray you would answer that prayer. We pray for the Pace family today who lost their beloved father and grandfather. We pray for Steve and his family, and also for Nathan and Amy and their family right now, that you would strengthen them as they've lost this precious man, and also their grandmas that are also dealing with COVID right now. We pray for George and Tracy and Olivia and Lewis and Terry and Kaysen, Lord. Keep them safe and strengthen them and cause them to recover quickly, Father. We pray for the man Daniel who asked for prayer, who got a shingle shot and had a bad reaction and is being intubated. We pray for another man by the name of Bob, who is recovering from COVID, just lost his wife a couple weeks ago. We pray for a sister who's in a care home who's stressed out. We pray for a man by the name of Chuck who asked for prayer through his family who's dealing with cancer. We pray for our friend Jerry who's dealing with cancer. And we pray for all those who are in self-quarantine right now. Lord, these people have asked for prayer, and we want to be faithful each week, Lord, to hold up anybody that's coming through the prayer constant contact, to hold these names up so the rest of the body can know how to pray and to think of these people as well. And now, Lord, we commit this service to you, that you would be glorified and magnified, and that your people would be edified in everything we do. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. So I want to share a verse that I've often shared with the kiddos. Love to see them. It's Ephesians chapter 1, or chapter 2 and verse 10, one of my favorites in the Bible, because it tells us we are God's workmanship. The master crafter created us, created in Christ Jesus, for, it gives us the purpose of our life, for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we should walk in them. Isn't that an awesome thought? Well, when I was 6 years old, God brought another little creation into our family, and his name is Philip. And so I just want to share some thoughts about Philip from the Bible, because they describe my brother, Philip. It's in John chapter 1, and I lost my spot here. Okay. Jesus, Nathaniel, now Philip, let me back up here. It's verse 43. Jesus found Philip, and he said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was a very obedient child. I was a rebellious child, but Philip was one of those more compliant and obedient children from a very young age. He had a tender heart towards the Lord, and he did exactly what Jesus said, and he followed him. Now, Philip was from Bethesda, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him whom Moses in the law, as well as the prophets, wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Now, Nathanael said to Philip, "Can any good thing come from Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see. Come and see." From the time Philip was probably in his early elementary age, we lived in a neighborhood in Dominican Republic where my mom and dad were missionaries. And I went to a U.S. Embassy school. They put Philip in a Dominican school. It was just down the street this for his very first year. He was young. Were you even five yet? You don't remember. Well, they just wanted him. He wanted to be in school already, and so they put him in the school. It was just a couple blocks away down the street, and away he went. And it was all in Spanish, so that was a good thing for him, and he just loved it. But he was this kind of a Philip, just like it's described here. Come and see. He had a tender heart for the Lord, and he accepted the Lord at a young age, and he had a tender heart for those around him. He was an excellent baseball player, and his teammates would all get invited to know Jesus because that was the kind of young man that he was and has become. Then we flip over in later on in his life. You know, Philip was the leader of the great Greek Empire, and he had a son whom you probably all know very well. He was known as the Great. Anybody call out his name? Alexander. Alexander the Great's father was Philip. Now, so that tells you something, where he's from, right? In chapter 12 of John, it says, some Greeks seek Jesus. Now, there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast, and they came and they found Philip. How about that? Well, Philip did a tour when he was deciding where the Lord wanted him, and he did a tour of Eastern Europe, and he ended up in Macedonia, and the Lord led him there. And that's a whole story in itself, but this just reminds me, this passage, because God has a purpose for every one of us. Do you hear that, girls? God has a purpose for every one of us, and even as a young girl, as a young person, God can be using you, putting into your heart the things that he wants you to do. And so I love it when Philip speaks. He has a real gift for sharing the word of God. And I still remember some things that he shared at messages that he's given in years ago. And I still remember some of those key points from those messages. So I know you're going to be blessed today as he comes to lead us in the word.
Thank you. For to make an today. Sorry. Okay, we good? Okay, Kelly, raise your hand. Stand up so all the women know who you are. You're having a little breakfast party up at your house in Youngstown, right? Yeah, so if you ladies want to get plugged in, see Kelly after, and she'll tell you how to get up there. Thanks. Sorry, Phil.
Now we're good, right? There we go. All right. Good morning. Dobro utro. And thank you, Steve. Brother makes me cry before I come up here. That's not very good. Thanks for your kind words. It's always great to be here with you. Calvary Chapel, my brothers and sisters in Christ, I want you to know that we are your partners in Macedonia. So we're your extension. You have a Calvary Chapel there. You just didn't know that. Thank you for every gift and every prayer. I believe that the Lord uses every single prayer that we ever pray. I don't think there is a prayer that comes off of our lips that is wasted. We don't always know exactly how. I believe that the Holy Spirit is our interpreter. If you've read Romans 8, it talks about the Spirit prays. He knows the mind of the Father, and so he uses every single prayer. And that's actually what we're going to talk about this morning. The title of my message is called Let's Pray. And so I'm actually going to share really a lot of things. This is much more of a preach-a-money. It's more of the things that the Lord is doing in my heart, in my wife's heart. And so I offer this, honestly, as a gift back to you for your giving to us, for partnering with us. I've been praying that every single one of you would have at least one little click moment this morning where the Lord would do something in your heart and use just one thing that's said. It's going to be super practical. Could almost call this a little bit of a seminar of things that God is doing. It's more of a how-to. And it comes from a person who does not have it all together when it comes to prayer. So those of you who maybe struggle with consistency in your prayer life, that's me. And so I just look forward to being able to share my heart with you this morning. And again, I just can't say thank you enough for being with us in Macedonia, for being part of what we do. And so my heart and my prayer is that I could give something, a little thing, back to you today. May God bless you. So I'd like to just lead us in prayer. So let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the grace that you've given to us already this morning, the grace that you're going to give us in the next few minutes of learning and growing closer to you. I thank you for how you put it on my heart to speak on this today and put it on Clark's heart to speak on Matthew that you were last week. It was no accident. It was part of your plan, and we know that you are so good and you love every single one of us. You want every single one of us to grow closer to you, to be more dependent upon you through prayer. And so do something special in our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I also want to say, give greetings to those who are watching via YouTube and Facebook. I might even have a friend or two who's tuning in today. In any case, let me just share a little bit of background of where I've gotten to this moment. The last time I was here, I shared a book title with you called A Praying Life, Paul Miller. I had read that at least three times already. I've read it another time since, as well as about three or four other books on prayer, along with Lynn. And the Lord has just really, really encouraged our hearts. Now, COVID became for us another kind of reset or refresh. We were doing so much travel leading up to March of this year. And all of a sudden, all of those flights got canceled on us, actually. And then we had to cancel some other travels in May and June. And so it allowed us just to pull back and to really look at some of the patterns and rhythms of our life and realize that we can do better. And so that led us into the summer, where we had the privilege of doing what we would call a 40-day journey of prayer. I was running one morning. I like to run, and I was running, and I often listen to podcasts or Audible books or just praise music. And I, on my Audible account, a title caught my attention. It was called Circle Maker by Mark Batterson. So I listened to the preview, and I thought, oh, that's really good. So he talks about a 40-day journey, 40 days of prayer. So the Lord really put that on my heart that that's what I needed to do. So I went home and said to Lynn, "Hun, I have a plan." And she said, "Good, I love a plan." And so I said, we're about 10 days away from July 1. And I said, "We're going to do a 40-day journey of prayer together." And she said, "Sounds awesome." So we in the meantime, we had a little prep we wanted to do. We read this book called Circle Maker, and then we watched the movie War Room. Anybody seen it? War Room? Kendrick Brothers? If you haven't seen it, that ought to be your takeaway today. Just go watch a movie, all right? And if you have seen it, that still ought to be your takeaway today. Go watch it again. So we watched it, and the Lord led us as we were getting ready for that 40-day adventure to turn one of our rooms into a war room. We're empty nesters now, so we turned one of our kids. We put posters up on the wall and verses, all stuff that can come down as soon as any of them comes home. So, but we turned one of those rooms into a war room or prayer room. And so then we started this 40-day journey, and it was just phenomenal. Life-changing. Amen. Life-changing. We wrote on posters. We drew circles around things that we were going to focus on in prayer. And then Lynn, she was the organizer of all of it. She put a sheet on one side of the wall, answers. In 40 days, we filled up an 8.5 by 11 full of answers, specific answers to prayer that God had graciously answered in that time. A lot of things that weren't answered. I don't want to mislead. More unanswered still than answered. But it was so encouraging and gave us such a heart like, okay, we're going to keep doing this. So I was asking the Lord, turn 40 into 400, if you will, please. Then turn 400 into 4,000, please, please. And so what I'm going to share with you really is just out of the heart of that. And I'd like you to turn to one verse. We're going to look at one verse in God's Word today. It's Colossians 4:2. There's actually a lot of verses that are, or several verses that are similar to this because they're from the heart and life of Paul. And so Colossians 4:2. I'm not even going to pick up the context. He's talking about rules for Christian households. And then he stops in 4:1. And then he says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. He goes on to talk about things they could pray for. And I'm not even going to talk about content, what we should pray for today. I think Clark gave you a lot of good things last week, things that you can be praying for. He summarized them this morning. I'm going to talk about that concept of devotion to prayer. We'll talk a little bit about watchfulness and thankfulness. But I want to unpack not really what it means, but how do we do it? We know what being devoted means. It means being completely committed to something. Paul says it again and again. He says, pray at all times with all kinds of prayers and requests. He said, pray without ceasing. If there was ever a man who was devoted to prayer, it was Paul. And I want to be like Paul. I really do. I'm not even close. So I'm telling you, you're hearing from a fellow struggler in prayer this morning, not somebody who has it all together, but somebody who really wants to grow in prayer and is growing in prayer. My prayer life is much better today than it was even a year ago. And so, and I want that, I want the Lord to keep doing that work in my life and in yours, because so much is at stake. If I can make an impact on eternity so that people's lives are changed forever, eternally, through what I do in the war room, then a lot is at stake. If I can change my own character through what I do in the war room, then a lot is at stake. If I can see, and it's not me, it's the Spirit of God, but if I can take part in the molding of the character of my children through what happens in the war room, then a lot is at stake. So it matters. And I'm praying that God would touch your life today in such a way that you just do something, okay? Wherever you are, you're going to take a step forward today. You might be a prayer warrior. And may the Lord use this today to make you a better one. And maybe the field is really barren right now. Maybe there's nothing. Then the Lord today is going to cause you to plant some seeds. He's going to plant some seeds. He's going to bring fruit. That's going to bear fruit for eternity. That's my prayer. So I want to just start with some of the challenges. What are the challenges to being devoted to prayer? Now, if we got in circles and started talking about it, you could come up with the same list that I've come up with here and probably some more. We all have our own distinct challenges. Here are a few of mine. Cynicism. Does this really matter? Are these words coming out of my heart and mouth, do they really matter a bit? And when I get an answer to prayer, now, was that really just going to happen anyway? All right? So cynicism is a challenge. It's an obstacle. I'm not going to actually try to overcome all of these through this talk. I just want to be honest with you. These are things that we struggle with, right? Too busy. Man, just way too busy to actually set time aside to pray. That's a challenge we all have, especially in America. Now, COVID maybe has slowed you down a little bit. I hope so, in a good way. It did for me. Feeling unworthy. Sometimes we just don't feel worthy to come into the Lord's presence, to bring our hearts before Him. Maybe there's sin. Maybe there's some kind of attitude that's just kept us from getting into the war room, into the prayer room, into His presence. No plan. This one comes out of, I'll mention this later too, D.A. Carson's book, Praying with Paul. We don't pray because we don't plan to pray. We plan other things. We plan breakfast, lunch, and supper. We plan when we're going to go to work and when we're going to come home from work, or when we're going to watch this program and when not, but we don't plan to pray. So sometimes it doesn't happen just because we don't plan it. Distraction. This is one for me. Not only this thing that goes ding in my pocket or over on the nightstand. And, you know, it's probably really important. It's probably somebody in Spain that needs my attention right now. I oversee our send work in Europe. Oh, it's probably Lynn. I really need to pick this up. All right. There's lots of distraction. Or if you're like me, you start praying. You know, Lord, thank you so much for this day. I want to just thank you for all that you're doing in my life. And thank you for Lynn. And what is she making right now in the kitchen? It smells so good. And I get so quickly distracted from, you know, it's called free association. You're praying one thing and it leads you to think about another, or to think about that thing and that leads you to another. And 5 minutes later, you haven't been praying. Other things, right? That happens to me, just being honest. All right. You might have other things that are challenges for you. These are the main ones for me in my experience. And maybe you have some others. They're real. They're what they are. It is what it is, but God doesn't want us to stay there. He wants us to devote ourselves to prayer. So I want to mention a few, start with some motivation towards this devotion to prayer, all right? Because I think that one of the most important things is learning to stay motivated. Because that leaks out for me really quickly. I can get real excited, okay, I'm going to be devoted to prayer, and a week later, I've lost that motivation. So there's a couple of things that are just super important and have become so important that I'm hopefully never going to lose them. So one of them is taking note of answered prayer. And literally taking notes of answered prayer. So I keep, I have little prayer cards that I use. Sometimes I use those more. Sometimes I use the stuff that's on our prayer wall. But I have little notes, and whenever one of those things that I've been praying for, if I see anything close to an answer, I put a little smiley and just rejoice in that and take note of it. Now, during our 40 days, and Lynn and I are going to keep doing this because there's a lot of things that are still unanswered on our we have this breakthrough circle and this restoration circle. Prodigal children circle. I'm praying for like 30 children of friends. I'm praying for breakthroughs. When those get answered, they're going to get written on that sheet. And we're on sheet number 2 now. And by the grace of God, after 400 or 4,000 days, we're going to be on sheet number 100. Right? We are going to take note of answered prayer. During those 40 days, one of the things that I prayed for was a friend named Dave. Dave's here in the States, and I had talked with him about his estranged relationship with his dad. And I sensed that not only did I need to be praying for the relationship, but something deeper in Dave's heart. Just that God would be his father. God is his father, but that he would really understand the fatherhood of God. That's what I prayed for Dave. And so I prayed every day during those 40 days. Lord, I pray that Dave would experience your fatherhood in his life. The next conversation that we had, oh, by the way, I have to say this too. I just felt like I needed to be real, real specific because I felt like the Lord had put that on my heart. So I said, Lord, if it comes up in our conversation that he talks about you as father, I'm going to know you answer my prayer. So I asked him next time we got on Zoom, and I asked him, how you doing? How are things with your dad? They're the same. He said, but you know what? I started reading this book called The Fatherhood of God. Now, it took everything within me not to just like, yes! But I just listened, and my heart did cartwheels, and I took some time later in a following conversation to let him know, and his eyes welled up with tears because God was working in his heart. And God had put that on my heart to pray specifically for him. So you better believe that's written on that sheet. And I'll go back to that. When I'm not hearing God's answers or his voice, or I'm not seeing him answer my prayers, I'm going back to that one. Another less important, but just a little specific one. One of the couples in our church was trying to buy a house. They felt led to buy this particular house in the neighborhood. I'll call him Elijah. That's his American name. And there was a hang up with the documentation, the legal documentation of the property. And typically you just stay away from that kind of stuff, you know, like it's the plague or, you know, COVID. But in any case, he decided that he wanted to pursue it. He felt like he was supposed to buy it. So I prayed every day for this document that was lacking. I just, you know, I prayed, Lord, you know, he needs that document. It's something called Imoten List. Lord, give him that. And so 4 weeks ago, hon, I think we were in their home, in that home, in their living room, and he came and he showed me the document. He said, this is what you were praying for. Amen. It's like, that's on my answer sheet, right? And there are a bunch of those, several of those. I won't go into any more specifics, but ones where, wow, Lord, that was really a specific answer. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm going to say it again. There's quite a few that we're still praying for that aren't answered yet. But God's at work. So that's probably the biggest way that I stay motivated. And I encourage you to do that too. So that requires that you might like start writing down your prayer requests somewhere. Some of you I know have lists or you have an app. Do something, but then start taking note of the answers. Real quickly, practically, one thing that Lynn and I have started doing as well is we said we're going to read one book a year on prayer. There's so many good books out there. So in this last year, we've actually read three or four. We're currently reading Fervent, which is a book by Priscilla Shirer, who is the daughter of Tony Evans, who is the protagonist, the actress, is actually Priscilla Shirer in the movie War Room. She's the real estate agent who comes across this elderly senior saint who teaches her how to pray prayers, strategic prayers for her marriage. All right, so that's Priscilla Shirer in real life, who wrote the book Fervent. So the story of Fervent is really wrapped up into that movie about praying strategically. So good. So it's actually written for women. So Lynn reads it and I listen. It's prayers for women for how to pray strategically for their families and marriage. But it's so biblically based and solid. Another way that I stay motivated, because we're talking about devoting yourselves to prayer, right? And the quickest way to not be devoted is to lose motivation. So another way that I maintain motivation is I like to hang out with people who are prayers. At least I like them to rub off on me. I've got a guy in my life who is so dear to me. His name is Brian Stout. He's been a teammate for 14 years. The Lord moved him from Macedonia, much to our broken heart, really. Moved him to and his family to Croatia. And it was what the Lord needed to do. He had asthma. Skopje's air is the third most polluted in Europe. It's terrible. We're, you know, slowly killing ourselves too. But we don't have asthma. He actually had asthma and it was really literally killing him. So he had to move. So he moved to the clean air of the coast of Croatia. But that man, you will never share something with Brian Stout that's personal and important without him saying, let's pray. He'll listen to you. He'll care for you. He'll give you a hug. But before you leave or get off the phone, let me pray about that. I love that. That's rubbed off on me. And I want people to know that they can count on me praying for them as well. He's made an impact on my life. He's committed to prayer. And that's who he is and will be for the rest of his life. And in a growing way. That's impacted me. Another guy, a new friend, is Bob Allams. The book that I've mentioned a couple times, A Praying Life, the author is Paul Miller. Bob is Paul's colleague. I called up Paul Miller
because I wanted him to come and speak to our people in Send International. And he was unable to do that. He said, I actually have a guy who does the training for Praying Life Ministry. His name's Bob Allens. So I met Bob and just fell in love with Bob. Amazing man of prayer. Great man of prayer. So just down to earth. And yet his prayer life is just, it's real. And so he came to Macedonia. I brought all of our Send Europe leaders to Macedonia. This was pre-COVID, about 4 months before COVID. And he spoke to us, kind of the principles of the book. And we all left changed, every one of us. Then we did a prayer cohort on Zoom for 12 weeks straight with Bob. And then after that was over, he was done with his obligation to us, but he actually likes us. So he said, I want to keep praying with you. Let's pray once a month. So we get on Zoom once a month, 8 o'clock Eastern time, 2 o'clock Central Europe time, and we pray. And I get encouraged by praying with Bob. So to stay encouraged, take note of answered prayer, consume content that will help you to grow in your prayer life, and hang out with prayers, or at least allow them to influence you, all right? Now, I'm going to keep talking about devotion, how we can be devoted. I want to talk about things that we can do, that we can practice to grow in our devotion to Christ through prayer. Probably the most practical and valuable thing that I have done is pray for more prayer. I started about 5 years ago, and ever since then, my prayer life has grown consistently. I'm still a struggler. I'm still struggling. And so it's a regular thing I pray for. Lord, just like the disciples, teach us to pray. Lord, help me to pray more, better, and more better. I know we don't say that. Help me to pray more and more. I want to grow in this. And so ever since I started praying that, he has grown my prayer life. It was like when I was a young man after graduating from Bible college, very disillusioned with my faith, quite frankly. I had a head full of Bible, a heart full of nothing. And I didn't like that. I felt like a hypocrite at the time. I said, I need to really know you, Jesus, not just know all about you. And so I said, Lord, this has to change. And so I started praying every day, Lord, I want to know you. And when I started praying that for that entire year, he changed my life. There are things that you can talk to your Heavenly Father about that he just will not and cannot resist. As a dad, if your kid comes to you and says, you know, Dad, I'd just like to spend a little more time with you. What would you do with that? Yeah. My kids are all grown now. You know, if one of them said that to me, how much time do you want? Right? When do you want to meet? So when you say prayers like that, I really just want to know you better. I'd like to learn how to talk to you more and get better at it so that I'm more effective. What's he going to do with that? Well, what are you going to do with your kids if they ask you the same thing? You're going to pour out the blessing. Now, it's not always instant because the Lord likes it when we pursue him. So pursue him. Pray that every day. Lord, I want to grow in my prayer life. Another thing, this also comes from D.A. Carson's book, and he actually takes it from the Puritans. Pray until you pray. Pray until you pray. It's been around for a couple of hundred years, that statement. Or longer, actually. Sorry, Puritans. Pray until you pray. So oftentimes we start our prayer and we kind of end it fairly quickly with, you know, I got through my list, or, you know, I prayed a few things. We haven't actually connected yet with the Lord. He's still hearing us, but there's not that heart connection where you're really praying. Pray until you pray, and then keep going. Pray with a partner. I've already talked about how people can rub off on us, but if you don't have a prayer partner, It's one of the best things. If you haven't already done that, it's one of the best things you can do is get a prayer partner. If you're married, oftentimes the best prayer partner is your spouse. Not always. Not always. Sometimes it's, and sometimes both and your spouse and somebody else. My best prayer partner is Lynn, my wife. Not Lynn, Steve's wife. She's Steve's prayer partner. But Lynn, my wife, is my prayer partner. Yeah, we really confused my dad when I decided to marry a Lynn as well. In any case, Lynn and I have been praying for, we've been married for 30 years. We've been praying fairly consistently for about 27. It took us about 3 years of our marriage to figure out the best time and a lot of trial and error, and failure. And then at about the three-year mark, we figured out what was going to be our best time of day and way to go about it. And so it's not every day, but it's most days, and it's important to us. And so my prayer life has grown because of Lynn. And much of the consistency in my prayer life is our prayer life together. Another practical one, again, from D.A. Carson's book. I like the way he puts it. Avoid mental drift. Avoid mental drift. I talked about distraction earlier, right? That's mental drift. And so the best way that works for me is moving my lips or praying out loud, or sometimes writing my prayers, sometimes pacing back and forth just to make sure that there's action, I'm staying focused and concentrated. But if you're like me, you get distracted easily, and that's probably one of the best ways to do it is just to pray out loud. just a few more here about devotion. Find your own way or figure out what works best for you in terms of prayer. My prayer life is not going to look like yours because we're not the same people, right? We have a different personality. Some of you really like to write. Then write out your prayers. You know, some of you pray better in the morning than the evening, or vice versa. Find what works and then give it a go. And then ask somebody to help you stay accountable. And this is one that I've seen many times in my life, but most recently has really made a huge difference, and that's do something that will jumpstart your prayer life, or will refresh your prayer life in a unique way. So it might be set aside a morning with the Lord. It might be decide to take a walk with God at some point. It might be a 40-day thing. It might be praying through December 28th, Pastor Clark, right? What you challenged people last week. That could be a real restart for you, or a reset, or just a refresh. But we lose the vision and we lose the motivation so quickly. And so I encourage you to do that. It's been life-changing for me. And so Lynn and I have decided that we're going to continue to do things that will refresh. We will be doing another 40-day journey of prayer in 2021. It was so good, and it might not ever be that good again, but it's still going to be a focus of prayer, and it might be 10 times better. I have no idea, whatever the Lord wants. But we are going to do that as a way of helping our own hearts to stay stirred up. And then just one more practical thing. Pray. Be willing to pray long and hard and long and hard and long and long for things that are important to you. In his book, Circle Maker, Mark Batterson says, we like to pray, especially we Americans, because we like things fast. We pray ASAP prayers. When we need to be praying ALAT prayers, as long as it takes. And that is what the Lord has probably impressed on my heart the most. Even though he gave a lot of really good answers during our 40 days, there are other things, some of the heavier things on my heart that he's not moved yet. Well, I'm not quitting. I will pray by the grace of God as long as it takes. if he chooses not to answer that prayer the way I'm intending, then I trust that he's using every one of those prayers in a unique way that I don't know, as well as what he's doing in my own heart along the way. He has changed my heart. Some things I've been asking the Lord for, and there's no movement, or there's a little movement here and there. Well, he's working in me, softening me, making me more dependent, broken. So let me wrap up with just a couple more words about Colossians 4:2. We've talked about motivation and practicing devotion. Just quickly, what does Paul mean when he says be watchful? He talks about being alert in other passages, right? When you pray and you're talking to the Lord, it's like you're talking with your eyes open. You're praying with your eyes open, not necessarily literally, although that's fine, right? But you're praying with your eyes open to see the spiritual battles that are happening. If you're watchfully praying, and this happens the more you pray, you will start to see both the hand of God in the little things and big things that he does. That's watchfulness. You'll also see the insidious hand of the enemy, because you'll be more aware. You're praying about it. Oh, my word, look at what Satan just did there. And you'll pray about that. There's a watchfulness that will grow in you the more you pray. And we are instructed to pray in that way. Keep your eyes, spiritual eyes, wide open for what God is doing. Thank him, praise him, pray into it some more. But also watch out for what the enemy is doing. And pray against that strategically using the word of God. That's the beauty, by the way, of the book Fervent, is the powerful spiritual scriptural prayers that she leads you through. So praise the Lord for that. And then the last thing is be thankful. Be watchful and thankful. And this is actually where 2020 began for Lynn and me in terms of just this great, amazing year of spiritual growth for us. We had committed to, for 2020, we committed back in 2019 in December to start a new habit. And that is to keep a journal of gratitude. Gratitude journal every day. I miss days. I miss more days than Lynn, but I it's still a habit. We actually made some. And this is one that I'm going to give to you, Pastor Clark. We first just used a regular spiral notebook. And then the Lord was leading us to develop some messages on thankfulness. I spoke at a retreat for a Christian organization in Macedonia. And so I had some journal. I spoke on Thanksgiving, on giving thanks, two messages. And then I gave them all a journal that looked just like this, but it had the three languages that they represented, Albanian, Macedonian, English. It said blagodarnost, thankfulness, and mirin johe, which is the Albanian word. And so we gave them to them. Lynn was speaking at a ladies' retreat in Spain, so she had gratitude on her journal and gave it to all the ladies there. And so then we ran out of those, and we thought, let's print some more so we can give them to people. These are just the Macedonian version. It says blagodarnost, which is thankfulness. All right. So every day we start the day. That's the first thing we do. Well, I make the coffee first and drink my coffee. And I do blagodarnos with the first cup of coffee. And in any case, we write three or four things of what the Lord did in our day yesterday, where we observed something good from him. And it's a great way to start the day. And so if you want to if you want to just take one thing away for this year, start a gratitude journal. It will make a huge difference. It will set the tone for your day. So that is my hopefully encouraging word to you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I hope that there's at least one thing that you're going to take away and do something about. As I close in prayer, I ask that you would make a commitment in your heart to the Lord. What's the one thing that you want to take away today? Let's pray. Lord, there's you're clearly at work in our lives. COVID is here. We know that there's a lot that's happening. There's a lot of hard things that are happening. But you also intend through all of this to change us. And this year in my life, you slowed me down. And I thank you for that. And I pray that you would do great things in the hearts of my brothers and sisters. Encourage them in their prayer lives today. Bless them in Jesus' name.